They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Has Elon Musk managed to warm Twitter's heart? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Twitter is reportedly now in earnest conversations to sell itself to Tesla CEO Elon Musk, who will take it off the stock market. Seemingly gone now is the talk of Twitter setting up barricades, poison pills they're called, to try to keep an unwelcome suitor at bay. Marketplace's Nova Safo has details.
Twitter and Musk started talking yesterday, according to the Reuters news agency, which is citing multiple sources. And while that doesn't mean a deal is imminent, it is a change in Twitter's tactics. After Musk first announced his $43 billion takeover bid, Twitter's board of directors adopted a poison pill strategy to try to prevent a takeover by making it more expensive to acquire its stock. The billionaire last week disclosed in a regulatory filing that he secured nearly $47 billion in financing to purchase Twitter. Some large shareholders are said to want a higher price for the company. A member of Saudi Arabia's royal family, who is thought to own a 5% stake, tweeted that Musk's offer was too low compared to Twitter's growth prospects. But hedge funds and other short-term investors are said to be urging Twitter to take the deal. The company is scheduled to report first-quarter earnings on Thursday and could reveal more details about its negotiations then. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Today, the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues convenes in New York for a week. As Marketplace's Savannah Marr reports, business and the economy are on that agenda.
Many governments require corporations to consult with indigenous people before developing their territory. Indigenous leaders say that's not enough.
Consultations do not entail consent.
Pablo Rueda Saiz is a law professor at the University of Miami. At this week's forum, he says indigenous people will push for stronger protections against unwanted development and resource extraction.
Requiring that multinational corporations have the consent of indigenous peoples before they enter into their territories.
In the United States, that would mean giving tribal governments more meaningful decision-making power. Kristen Carpenter is a professor of Indian law at the University of Colorado.
It's an opportunity for tribes to have a seat at the table and negotiate the terms of these agreements rather than be forced to protest or litigate later.
Carpenter says the protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline at Standing Rock make a good case for companies to seek affirmative consent. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
These market screens are here for a reason. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down 0.9%. Stock markets in Asia hit the skids today, in part with COVID spreading in China's capital. The key stock index in Shanghai fell nearly 5%. Hong Kong down 3.7%. Japan's Nikkei index dropped 2%. Developing countries are borrowing more from foreign lenders, with, for instance, Sri Lanka, Tunisia, Ghana teetering into risky territory. Some of this is spiking prices for food and oil with Russia's war on Ukraine. And servicing this debt is harder with interest rates going up. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore spoke with William Jackson, chief emerging markets economist at Capital Economics.
First, kind of help us all understand the connection between the war in Ukraine and emerging markets.
Yeah, the war in Ukraine is having a lot of spillovers to the rest of the world, and some emerging markets are particularly vulnerable to these spillovers. One, and perhaps the most obvious, is that we've seen a big rise in commodity prices, particularly oil, but also food prices. And for countries that are very dependent on imports of these goods, that's raising the cost of their imports. That's meaning they need more hard currency to be able to finance that. That's putting pressure on their currencies.
If these countries, you know, they're low or moderate income, they suddenly need to spend a lot more on basic materials. How does that affect their currency?
Essentially, they're facing a higher import cost. So the importer needs to exchange the local currency, generally for US dollars. That means that the demand for their own currency is weakening, and so the price of that currency weakens too, and it means the imported price rises as a result. So we see currency depreciation emerging from these rising import bills.
So if their currencies are devaluing, that has an implication for the debts that they owe internationally. Can you explain that for us?
For many of these economies, they have been borrowing quite heavily in US dollars or in euros rather than in their own currency. The problem, of course, is that they are then exposed to currency risk. So if its own currency weakens, then essentially the cost for the government of servicing its debt increases too. So the weaker the currency, the bigger that cost of servicing debt becomes.
I mean, is there any recourse for these countries when they run into these kinds of problems? I mean, can they go to the IMF or some other body?
Sometimes countries have turned to China, where often the lending comes with few strings attached, but it also involves maybe providing China with some leverage over the country. And the IMF is clearly an option and seems to be the way Sri Lanka in particular is turning right at the moment. The IMF will lend to these countries, but it comes with a whole program that is designed to restore sustainability to the economy. But often this is quite bitter medicine to swallow in the short term.
William Jackson is Chief Emerging Markets Economist at Capital Economics. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My colleague Sabri there. And do we have a sign here the global shortage of microchips is easing more quickly than expected? Well, prices of computer graphics chips have plunged, leading to sagging stock prices for companies that make these, such as NVIDIA and Advanced Micro Devices. The graphics chips are still more expensive than they were before pandemic, but not by that much. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.